Role of Diagnostic Microbiology Lab in Infection Prevention. The Diagnostic Microbiology Laboratory, DML, plays a pivotal role in patient care by providing information on a variety of microorganisms, bacteria, fungi, viruses, parasites, with clinical significance. The primary goals of the DML are to identify the presence of pathogenic microorganisms in clinical samples, predict the response to antimicrobial therapy, and assist the infection prevention department as needed in epidemiological investigations. The manner in which these goals may be accomplished in healthcare settings may vary, but they include screening for infectious diseases, confirming the presence of a suspected pathogen, and diagnosing individuals with specific organisms to allow for targeted and focused treatments. A variety of methods can be used to identify microorganisms in clinical specimens. Methods used in the DML in the diagnosis of infection are as follows. Classical methods, direct smear, culture, antigen detection, serological tests. Molecular methods, hybridization, nuclei-C acid amplification, real-time amplification. Mass spectrometry, matrix-assisted laser desorption / ionization time of flight, MALDI-TOF. The DML is an essential component of an effective infection prevention program. Changes in microbiology diagnostic techniques, such as rapid diagnosis and typing methods, have strengthened the role of the microbiology laboratory in infection prevention. The partnership between the infection preventionist and the DML medical microbiologist is crucial in combating healthcare-associated infections, HAIs. Often, the first step to identify microbes is preparation of a slide to examine the clinical sample microscopically. Another necessary procedure in bacteria identification is preparation of pure cultures. Note that not all microbes can be visualized with a microscope, nor can all be cultured in the hospital laboratory. Biosafety levels. One important consideration with regards to the DML and infection prevention is the concept of biosafety levels, as defined by the CDC and other United States health agencies. This four-level system has become the code of practice for biosafety in the laboratory setting. The levels and their key characteristics are Biosafety Level 1. Biosafety Level 1, BL1, defines conditions suitable for work involving well-characterized microorganisms not known to cause disease in healthy adult humans and of attendant minimal potential hazard to laboratory personnel and the environment. Special containment equipment or facility design is neither required nor generally used. Infection prevention measures for BL1 include hand hygiene when indicated. Biosafety Level 2. Biosafety Level 2, BL2, is similar to BL1 and is suitable for work involving agents of moderate potential hazard to personnel and the environment. This safety level is appropriate when work is done with any human blood, body fluids, or tissues in which the presence of an infectious agent may be unknown. Except in extraordinary circumstances. Example, suspected outbreak of hemorrhagic fever. The initial processing of clinical specimens and identification of isolates can be done safely in a BL2 laboratory. Certain procedures in which infectious aerosols or splashes may be created are conducted in a biologic safety cabinet, BSC, or with other physical containment equipment. Biosafety Level 3. Biosafety Level 3, BL3, is applicable to clinical, diagnostic, teaching, research, or production facilities in which work is done with indigenous or exotic agents. Such agents may cause serious or potentially lethal disease as a result of exposure by the inhalation route. In BL3 laboratories, greater emphasis is placed on primary and secondary barriers. These barriers protect personnel in contiguous areas and the wider community from exposure to potentially infectious aerosols and to prevent contamination of the environment. Biosafety Level 4. Biosafety Level 4, BL4, laboratories are the most sophisticated of laboratories and are required for work with dangerous and exotic agents that pose a high risk of aerosol transmission for life-threatening diseases such as those caused by Marburg and Ebola viruses. These types of laboratories are rarely found within a hospital and are typically found in reference and / or research settings. Tests used to achieve definitive diagnosis. Many test methods rely on a culture of the suspected pathogen. It is important to note that there is a difference between a culture and a bacteria pure culture. A culture is created from a specimen that is received by a lab that is, often, placed into or onto a special media to cultivate the growth of any microbes contained in the specimen. Once that growth has occurred, further tests can be done to identify the organisms that were present in the specimen. However, clinical specimens usually contain a variety of microbes in addition to the suspected pathogen, S, such as common commensals and colonizing organisms. Thus, reliable identification is only possible when a pure culture is prepared. A bacteria pure culture is a culture that was created from a single bacterium that was extracted from a specimen. This may require the use of additional tools, such as a streak plate, but results in definitive identification of the microbe in question. When clinically significant, the growth of cultures may be quantified, for example, 50,000 colony-forming units, semi-quantified, heavy growth, or non-quantitative, positive or negative. Tests can be grouped based on their function and use. Direct examination. Other infectious process tests. Tests that detect immunological response, molecular and diagnostic. Let's examine each of these categories in more detail. Direct examination. The main direct examination methods include staining, histology/cytology, and wet mount. Staining methods. The most common procedure conducted to directly examine a clinical specimen for the presence of microorganisms, that is bacteria or fungi, is the Gram stain. The Gram stain reaction, along with cell shape and cell arrangement, can determine the type of media that should be used for culture, the appropriate identification procedures, and the types of antimicrobial testing. It may help to determine the quality of a specimen, initial direction for therapy, empiric, or the need for isolation precautions. For example, quantifying white blood cells and epithelial cells on a Gram stain differentiates sputum from saliva. The Gram stain involves a sequential staining process using crystal violet, iodine, acetone/alcohol, and safranin. Differences in cell wall structure influence the retention or loss of the combination of crystal violet/iodine complex. For example, Gram-positive bacteria have a thick peptidoglycan cell wall. Peptidoglycan is a name that indicates the chemical structure of the cell wall that does not allow the crystal violet/iodine complex to be removed during the acetone/alcohol wash. Under the microscope, Gram-positive organisms appear dark violet, purple, or blue. Gram-negative bacteria contain a lipopolysaccharide layer as part of their cell wall. The acetone/alcohol wash disrupts this layer, and the crystal violet/iodine complex is rinsed out of the cell wall. As a result, Gram-negative cells are colorless until counter-stained with a red dye. Safranin is usually used. Under the microscope, Gram-negative organisms appear pink or red. Some organisms absorb an increased amount of the stains and are said to have a strong avidity, whereas others are weakly stained and present a pale appearance, low avidity. In addition to bacteria, many fungi and some protozoa and helminths stain with the Gram stain process. For some of these organisms, acid-fast staining may be used. This uses heat or detergents to force dye into the cell, after which the cell cannot be colorized with acid alcohol, hence the term acid-fast. Generally, one of two types of acid-fast staining are employed: fluorescent, direct fluorescent antibody, or DFA, or indirect fluorescent antibody, or IFA, or a non-fluorescent stain, called a Kinyon stain. Histology/cytology. Histology is the study of the microscopic structure of tissues, whereas cytology is the study of the formation, structure, and function of cells. Histological or cytological procedures involve gross and microscopic evaluation of a specimen or tissue by a qualified pathologist. Special fixing or staining techniques may be used, depending on the suspected infectious process. Histological examination is useful for diagnosing infections with agents that are difficult or impossible to culture. The infectious agent may be seen directly in the specimen or indirectly as characteristic cell damage. Wet mount. A wet mount is the microscopic examination of fresh clinical specimens. Specimens routinely collected for wet mount include sputum viewed for fungal elements and stool examined for larvae, adult worms, ova, cysts, or parasites. Tests that detect immunological response. Tests that detect immunological response may be broken into two additional subclasses: antigen detection and antibody detection. Antigen detection. Antigens are molecular structures, usually proteins or polysaccharides, that are capable of stimulating the human immune system into the production of antibodies such as immunoglobulins. Antigens are not necessarily limited to infectious agents but include tumor cells, transplanted tissue, transfused cells, pollen, and other foreign substances. Antigen detection is a direct method to test for the presence of infectious agents, that is, antigens. These tests differ from direct specimen examination in that they generally incorporate the use of immunologic or serologic procedures. The tests may be helpful in early diagnosis, when cultures are not yet positive or are not possible or practical. Methods are designed to detect the entire agent, example, virus, or part of the agent, example, bacterial cell wall structure. Several test methods may be used for antigen detection, including agglutination tests, immunofluorescence, and enzyme-linked immunosorbin assay, ELISA. Serum, body fluids, and other clinical specimens may be used for antigen testing. Key point: different serologic tests may be used to ascertain different information about an individual and a specific pathogen, depending on the circumstances. For instance, tests that look for different specific antigens may be used for hepatitis B. Results for certain antigens and antibodies may be used to determine if an individual has been successfully immunized from hepatitis B, based on their immune response or the lack thereof. This is different from the results used to determine if an individual has acute or chronic hepatitis B infection. The CDC has a graphic sharing how to interpret hepatitis B serologic test results, which is available in the additional resources. Antibody detection. An antibody, also known as an immunoglobulin, is produced against a foreign antigen by the B lymphocytes. The antibody attaches to the specific antigen/antigen product that the individual's immune system has created as a defense mechanism. Antibodies facilitate the body's removal of the agent. This process is referred to as humoral immunity. Once produced, antibodies circulate in the blood, secretions, or lymphatic fluid. Antibody detection is an indirect method of identifying infection by assessment of the host response, antibody production, to the invading microorganism. This sometimes is referred to as serology, serologies, or immunology testing. Results may be reported qualitatively, positive or negative, or quantitatively, titers, and should be interpreted in consideration of the predictive value of the specific test. A positive antibody titer does not necessarily indicate active infection but may represent a previous infection and should be considered accordingly. Several test methods are used for antibody detection, including agglutination tests, complement fixation, indirect immunofluorescent antibody, IFA, immunoblot, indirect hemagglutination, IHA, bentonite flocculation, BF, and radioimmunoassay, RIA. Serum is the specimen typically tested. However, other specimens may be acceptable, depending on the suspected agent. Molecular and diagnostic testing. Molecular testing has had a positive effect on the diagnosis of infectious diseases. The polymerase chain reaction, PCR, was the first test developed using a nuclei C acid amplification method and is the most widely used. Other nuclei C acid amplification tests, NOT, are based on target, probe, or signal amplification methods. All molecular diagnostic tests are subject to false positive results because they are sensitive to contamination from previous amplification testing, another specimen, or positive control material. However, due to the high sensitivity of the tests, they are useful for identifying otherwise hard-to-identify diseases or specific products resulting from a specific infectious agent. Example C. Difficile toxin in feces. Key point: it is important to understand the difference between test sensitivity and susceptibility, which may vary depending on the context used. Susceptibility describes whether an identified organism is able to be treated successfully using a given antimicrobial. It is often used in the context of antimicrobial susceptibility testing, AST, which directly measures the activity of one or more antimicrobial agents against a bacterial isolate. Directly detects the presence of a specific resistance mechanism in a bacterial isolate, and measures complex antimicrobial organism interactions. Sensitivity is the ability of a test or other surveillance method to identify true cases. Sensitivity may also be encountered when discussing an antibiogram, which summarizes typical patterns of susceptibility to antibiotics by specific species of bacteria. Many descriptions of antibiograms refer to patient sensitivity patterns, using sensitivity in place of susceptibility while retaining the same intended meaning. The availability of tests has improved initial diagnosis, disease prognosis, and monitoring of response to therapy. The largest impact in initial diagnosis has been seen in clinical virology. For bacteria, the use of molecular assays is limited by the need to perform antibiotic susceptibility testing on isolates. Other infectious process tests. A variety of tests other than microbial, serological, and molecular assays can be used to assess the body's response to infectious agents. Although most of these tests are not used specifically for the diagnosis of infection, they may be useful in many cases. Some of the more commonly used tests are described here. Body fluid analysis. When infection is suspected in a sterile body fluid, example, pleural, peritoneal, synovial, a sample of the fluid is obtained using sterile techniques for analysis of its various components and for the detection of the presence of abnormal constituents that may indicate infection. Appropriate collection of body fluids for analysis may include the use of a sterile anticoagulant, because cells or bacteria present in the fluid can become trapped in clot formations, which could lead to inaccurate results. The analysis usually includes total protein, specific gravity, cell count, red and white blood cells, with differential types of WBCs present, body fluid glucose, gram stain, and culture. Microscopic examination for crystals also may be requested. Because each body fluid has different normal levels, analysis results must be compared with the normal values for that fluid. However, in general, the presence of a large number of white blood cells in any body fluid is an indicator of infection or acute inflammation. Cerebrospinal fluid analysis. Although cerebrospinal fluid, CSF, can be analyzed for a number of components, example calcium, sodium, uric acid, for the diagnosis of infection, four basic components are considered: color and clarity, protein, glucose, and WBCs, including differential. Key point. A couple important points associated with serious illnesses involve CSF analysis. Suspected meningitis is a common reason to order a CSF test. Meningococcal meningitis typically results in a cloudy CSF sample, low glucose, high protein, and increased WBC. Gram-negative diplococcine on a gram stain of cerebrospinal fluid analysis requires immediate initiation of droplet isolation precautions. Another crucial point relating to CSF doesn't actually require knowledge of the test result for the IP to begin implementing specific responses. A lab order for a 1433 protein test on a CSF sample may indicate that the ordering physician suspects Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD. If encountered, the IP should confirm with the ordering physician whether that is suspected, and if so, staff should be educated on the CJD-specific risks associated with any procedures that are performed and equipment used on the patient. Complete blood count. The complete blood count, CBC, is a series of tests of the peripheral blood that evaluate different cellular components. The items commonly evaluated include hemoglobin, hematocrit, red blood cells, RBC, red blood cell indices, WBCs, WBC differential, and platelets, and there is also a microscopic examination of stained blood smears. The CBC is used as a screening tool for general health assessment and to track the progress of many diseases. However, for the purposes of diagnosing or monitoring infection, the WBC count and differential are most useful. The WBC count is the total number of WBCs, leukocytes, in 1 cubic millimeter, 1 millimeter 3, of peripheral blood. The WBC count has a wide range of normal values, depending on personal factors such as age. An increased WBC count, greater than 10,000, usually indicates infection, inflammation, or leukemic neoplasia. For urinary tract infection, increased WBC counts are typically accompanied by positive results for the leukocyte esterase and / or nitrate results in a urinalysis test. X-rays. In diagnostic radiology, the scope of procedures performed ranges from basic radiographs to more complex studies such as ultrasound or computed tomography, CT, with varying patient contact times. Particularly with regard to detecting infection, X-ray imaging of the chest is used to show potential issues, including fractures and issues in the lungs. This is particularly useful in the diagnosis of tuberculosis. Cavitation on a chest X-ray is a hallmark result for pulmonary TB, which may present with nonspecific issues, and pneumonia. Results that may indicate these issues will show white, cloudy areas and otherwise clear lungs.